is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and for the last time, I love, I guess, those real, real old Christmas movies that I can kind of understand if I squint.
I'm Alonzo, and for the last time, I'm going to bend Bran to my will, and this
is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast! All right, everyone. We're doing it. This is it. This is it. Now is the time to start giving us those recommendations for week 25, because I think we've gotten a few of them in, but we need them. And Alonzo and I will talk and figure out something next week, by next week. So that we tell the people is what I'm trying to say. But it's been quite the journey, quite the journey. A lot of black and white. I've seen more black and white this year than I ever, than all of my years combined.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, if I took away the stigma of it just the tiniest bit, I will feel like this entire venture was worthwhile.
This is what I'll say. I will still not actively seek out black and white movies on my own.
Okay.
But if the recommendation happens on like a movie night or something, I will I will be more inclined to be down to clown. I'll give it a go. I'm open more. It's like my food palate has also opened up a little bit over the past, you know, few years. I'm trying some more foods, which is good. And so I feel like the same can be true of film.
Great. Well, I'll take it, you know, because I think that there's such a chunk of the overall, you know, of the pool of Christmas movies that exist that you're missing out on if you aren't going to watch black and white. But I'm glad that we could have these conversations. You could see these movies, and this has been a blast. I can't believe we're staring down the end of this thing. It's been such a fun ride this year. But we got this week, we got next week, and then we have Viewer's Choice.
That's right.
And then it's Christmas in July time.
That's exactly right. I'm so excited. The fun thing is we're getting not one, not two, but three new Christmas movies for July, which is blowing my mind. Like I didn't see it coming. They just kind of throw it in there on a commercial a few weeks ago and
very sneaky, yeah. But I was thinking about this, you know, when you think about like their seasonal stuff, you know, whether it's, you know, June weddings or spring or, you know, what'll happen is they'll have like three or four new titles that are tied to whatever the theme is, and then they'll rerun ones from years past. And Christmas in July up until now has been just about all reruns, with the exception of like, oh, we have a premiere for you. But I think now they're really stepping into like, no. Christmas in July is a thing just like, you know, spring or May or whatever. And so we're giving you three new ones, at least one of which is specifically about Christmas in July. Like it's set at a summer camp, I think, based on the commercial. So I like that they're sort of fully donning this cloak and not just treating July as like, we can take the month off and just, we'll rerun a bunch of stuff and Brandon and Alonzo will be happy. But no, they're making it a thing in a way they haven't before.
It is true though. We would have been happy either way.
Of course.
I mean, crazy. And you know, I feel like now is a great time to remind the people to write their senators, whoever it is, about the important stuff, but also about Hallmark making Hallmark drama a Christmas channel, for the love of God. Like, just, it should be how we conclude everything now. It's like, hey, please make these changes, but also one more thing, P.S., please.
Stay and neuter your pets and get Hallmark to change drama to Christmas.
That's exactly right. We need hashtag going.
It's just sitting there, literally. I mean, this is like, how many times can we cycle through all of the episodes of The Waltons and Little House on the Prairie? Like, come on, Hallmark. Give us a break.
It hurts my heart.
We're also We're also coming up on Leon Day, which is a great time to pick up a copy of I'll Be Home for Christmas Movies, if you haven't already, the book that we all did about this podcast and its reviews of Hallmark classic Christmas movies. And not to worry, this year, purchasing the book on Leon Day will not force Bran to eat sweets until he pukes.
That's right. That's right. We'll be at Ramadrama. And so, yes. If you want to bring me a cookie, I'll eat it, but I'm not going to promise any cookies. I would like to see people post pictures of them with their book, with them eating a yes. cookie. Let's flip that over. Let's flip it on its head like a little it. Bit. That's what I want. But yeah, it's on. You can grab it. I'm sure there's sales around, and you can do all sorts of stuff. So buy books wherever you buy books. And when you're doing that,
and you'll be extra ready for Christmas in July when it happens.
That's exactly right. It's the perfect companion. It's the perfect companion. Yeah. Speaking of companion, it's time to talk about this week's movie, which I will be watching for the first time once yes. you tell me the title of it. And I got to be honest, I'm scared. This is the last week. I don't know what you've been saving. I've made you do a lot of things. I've made you watch a Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie. I've made you watch The Grinch, The Polar Express. I've done a lot of things to you this year. And so you've been pretty kind.
I've been saving this one.
Okay.
And it's a movie I love, and I will tell you, first of all, it's the one movie that we're doing that was made after you were born.
Wow, okay.
It came out in 2008. It is in color.
All right, great. We're moving in a great direction, buddy.
It is in French with English subtitles. And I believe in you. I believe in you that you can handle this, that you can leap over what director Bong Joon-ho called the one-inch hurdle. That is subtitles. I know you have it in you, Bran.
Is there a dub anywhere?
There is not.
There's no dub anywhere?
There's no dub. You are watching this in French as it was meant to be seen because it stars the great Catherine Deneuve. It features an all-star cast of really great French actors, including Mathieu Amalric, who you might remember as the bad guy from Quantum of Solace. The film is A Christmas Tale from 2008, directed by Arnaud Desplechin. It is a movie that turns the... mom announces a terminal illness at Christmas trope on its head. It is a rich and wonderful movie that I have rewatched, I don't know how many times. And it's one of those movies where you go back and watch it again and you find yourself rooting for different characters. Like somebody you thought was like the hero the first time. And then the other one you thought was being a jerk. You look at it again and go, oh no, actually the jerk has a point and maybe the hero guy should step off. So it's a movie I love. I think you're going to be into it. I hope you're going to be into it, but I'm very excited that for next time, and it's available streaming in various places, including Criterion Channel and Pluto TV. We are watching A Christmas Tale.
How long is it?
Good question. Gosh, do I have that in front of me? 2.5 hours.
No, you did not.
It's going to be worth it, though.
It's a so two. Good. You like those are two over 2 hour movies are already like pretty tough for me, but this is an over two and a half. It was essentially a full day. It's going to take me a full day. All right.
It's going to be so worth it. I promise you.
All right.
I promise you. I would not throw something like this at you willy-nilly. I think you're going to enjoy this.
All right. All right. I'm going to go watch it. It'll, maybe this break will be a little bit longer. and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about a Christmas Tale.
A Christmas Tale.
A singular Christmas Tale here Correct. On Dyke the Hallmark. Oh, welcome back, everybody. That was a long break. That was a 2.5 hour break.
2.5 hours. Yeah, I'll say I rewatched this movie and I thought, I still love this movie, but should I have done this to Bran? I don't know. I look forward to this conversation to see how it goes.
well, how about you do this? How about for the people that didn't want to sit through a two and a half hour. One thing I did notice, I found out myself by experience, is the Pluto, the thing that they say is on Pluto, isn't this movie. It's a different movie. So then luckily Dan was still logged into Criterion, so I found it that way. But just know that if you click the link in the description to watch, don't do Pluto. All right. Or do you want to do a little synopsis for us?
Sure. Yeah. A Christmas Tale debuted in the United States on November 14th, 2008, and it went a little something like this. It's Christmas time, and the Vuillard family is getting together in the industrial town of Roubaix, where they own a huge sprawling house where the parents still live. But this reunion is going to be anything but business as usual. The matriarch Junon is dying of a bone marrow disease that is untreatable unless one of her family members is enough of a genetic match for transplant. Now, yes, usually this is the kind of thing where parents do a transplant to help out their kids, but Junon is like, you know what? I gave these kids life. They owe me. So she makes all of them get tested to see which of them can come through. This Christmas also marks the return of Henri to the family. He had been banished by his older sister, Elizabeth, after a crooked business deal went wrong, and she basically kept him away from all family functions for several years. Amidst the festivities, some members of the clan will revive old grudges, while others will find love, learn surprising truths, and attempt to understand the baffling and gratifying bonds of family as they cope with mental illness, terminal illness, and the things that make our lives work out, which is generally the bonds of our family. And that, my friends, was Un Conte de Noël.
Yep. You said it, buddy. I'm not even going to try to do it. I know if I try it, it'll be unintentionally offensive, and that's not what I'm going for today. Not today, it's not. Some days, yes, but not today.
Not today, French Satan.
Not today, French Satan. That's exactly right. It's a different Satan over there.
He smokes even more, as it turns out.
He does. It's wild. Let's talk about it, buddy. I'll let you go and just share a little bit about what it was like for you watching it again, because you did watch it. I know I get your Facebook notifications, so I know like when you're watching movies and stuff, it's great. But you did rewatch this one.
I did, and this is a movie that I have gone back and revisited several times since it came out in 2008. I was immediately a fan of it. I immediately loved it. This is a director whose stuff I don't always love, but I need to see more of, because based on just how much I think this one is so great, I'm probably missing out by not being more fully versed. But what I like, one of the things I like about this movie is that every time I watch it, I find myself agreeing with a different character. Like usually you watch a movie and you know who the good guy is, you know who the bad guy is, and who has to learn something and whose side you should be taking. But this movie, it's messy and complicated in the way that real families are. So sometimes I'll think, Henri, really, they got a bum deal. And yes, he's right to be mad and he should be sort of welcomed back in the fold. And other times I think, actually, Elizabeth, the older sister, like she has to take a lot of crap and she did the right thing by putting her foot down. And sometimes I think, the mother is coping with the death of her first child when, he was a baby. And so that's, something that she's had to work with. And then other times I think that woman broke this family and these people are all like in need of a lot of therapy. So, I think that's part of what makes it great is that there's no easy answers here. It's not like I kept thinking about like what would the Hallmark version of this be like? And I'm thinking about like one of those like the Merry Christmas Times 11 movie, Reunited at Christmas, where the family gets together and, the parents are separated and there's a little bit of tension there. But overall, everybody comes together and it's all nice and they all work it out. And in a Hallmark context, that's fine. But I do like messy, complicated human feelings, and that's what I think this movie gives us really well. But it is a lot to take in on a first view because there are so many characters and they've all got these different intertwining backstories and stuff. So I want to kick it to you. Were you able to follow what was going on in this movie?
Lord, no. It was the hardest 2.5 hours potentially of my life.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
I knew I was in for something when there's like a 3-minute tea making scene at the beginning of this movie, like complete with cross dissolves, and I'm just like, what's going on here? And then there's a thing that tells a story with like paper things. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That I was like, well, that's cool. And then I don't know what happened for the next hour, but stuff happened. And then some Christmas happened. And then there were fireworks. And I'm like, I know what's going on here with the fireworks. I've seen this movie before. The family Christmas fireworks. I know this one. I did not enjoy this, unfortunately, okay. Alonso. And I'm okay. Sorry. I'm not somebody, like, I talk about black and white movies and blah, blah, blah. I have seen subtitled movies, and I'm not an exclusive hater of subtitles. Of course, if there was another audio track, I probably would have chosen it. It's 2.5 hours long. But this, for me, wasn't for me, and I don't think it had to do with the subtitles. I just think it was just not my jam.
I had not watched it again in a while, and watching it last night, I thought, this is a lot to put onto somebody who does not watch like foreign films in general, French films specifically. Yeah. Like there's a lot of layers to get through. And I think I could, if we did a whole other podcast that was about like, I teach you about foreign films, like I would start you way easier. And then we would work our way up to something like this. So I get it. That's on me.
So I'm not stupid for not enjoying this is what you're saying.
No. It's believe me, there are still, and it is the kind of movie where like, I'll go read the Wikipedia page where they describe what's happening in certain scenes. And I'm like, Oh, that's what we're supposed to get that out of that scene. I never interpreted it that way, you know? So it is open to, you know, discussion about what exactly, you know, certain things have to do with. There is, you know, this is a pretty racy movie. I will grant you there is, you know, it's French. So, you know, the marital relationships are, you know, they think about them differently there. I get it. It's not on you. This is an end of semester movie, and I threw it at you at the beginning of semester. So
thank you. I'm sure this is an excellent study in like character and how to tell a story with a lot of different. Like for me though, it felt like I was always playing catch up. Like I would still say I don't know who most of the people are. If I saw them on screen, I wouldn't know their name. You know, I knew the basic story.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I was basically like, there's a whole thing going on here, and I'm not really sure how this applies to this movie at all, but I know it's going to get me to 2.5 hours, so.
You know, I will say this, and we talked about this when you and Dan and I watched The Gathering. Yes. I think that there is a tendency to do the, like, mommy or daddy dying at Christmas thing, and it can be cheap if it's not done right. Like, I'm not a fan of The Family Stone. I think that movie uses that to sort of milk tears that it doesn't earn. I don't like it when they do it in the movie Stepmom, where, you know, Susan Sarandon has her big, like, final speeches at Christmas moment. But I love The Gathering, and I love this movie, so, I mean, I think you can do it. There is a way to work that sort of thing in, and the way that they work in this disease I think reveals so much about the characters. Like it reveals the mother expects her kids to like give her their marrow if they can, that she is less concerned about dying than about being like disfigured, you know, because one of the possibilities in the transplant is you might like break out into a rash or something, you know, and so her vanity kind of takes over. It's like, oh, I don't want that to happen.
Right.
And then the way that, because of his compatibility, the fact that the son who's been kicked out of the family gets to return and sort of lord it over the other people who weren't compatible matches. So like it's not just a thing of like, oh, let's all feel sad for mommy, she's sick. They use it as a way to capture who these people are, what this family dynamic is like. And it's all happening at Christmas. There's on the Criterion Channel, there's like a little half hour thing where they interview Mathieu Amalric, who plays Henri, who you might remember as the bad guy in Quantum of Solace.
Sure.
Screen legend Catherine Deneuve, who plays the mother, and then the director, Arnaud Desplechin. And they're all, it's all in English, so you could check it out if you want. But Dave Plachon talks about how he is a big fan of like American holiday movies, and how when he started putting together all these sort of plot threads, he thought, oh, this would be a great Thanksgiving movie, except that it's France and we don't have Thanksgiving, so I have to make this a Christmas movie. So I thought that was funny. And I like the way they do Christmas. Like, yep. Dave was kind of walking in out of the room and he saw them haul in the tree, and it's one of those big spindly, yep, in all direction trees. He goes, tell Bran that when every year that we buy a silver tip fir, like my goal in life is to have it look like the tree in this
movie. It was a great tree.
Yeah.
It's an excellent tree.
The fireworks are exceptional.
Since last year when we watched The Gathering, I'm now like a firework at Christmas time kind of guy.
Yeah. Is South Carolina, is that like a roadside thing, or do you have to cross state lines to get them?
Lord, I'm South Carolina. Come on.
I don't know. I never know. Because Georgia, I think we had to like drive to Tennessee or something to get them. I seem to recall when I was growing up.
South Carolina, you can definitely buy fireworks.
Cool.
I know there's some states that like you can buy them, but you have to say you're a farmer or something. Like, I think Florida's one of those states. Surprisingly, it's like, just say you're a farmer and you're good to go. So they've got these big old firework buildings, and it's just exclusively for farmers. Believe us, trust us.
Just bring a hoe with you.
Yeah, you'll be good. You'll be good. Yes. For those of you listening, he held up a thing. Let's talk about Christmas feels, Alonzo. Yeah. What stuck out to you?
Well, you know, I myself come from a big family. I think I've probably mentioned before, I'm the youngest of seven children, and there is something about everybody getting under one roof again, and the upsides of that and the downsides of that, and the way that you sort of fall back into your traditional role in the family, no matter how old you've gotten, no matter how much your life has changed. Once you're all back together again, it all sort of clicks in a weird way. So my family is not nearly as contentious as this family. Like, they can be really cruel to each other, although I think there is love there as well. But I recognize a lot of just that big boisterous family dynamic in this movie. There's a line where one of the in-laws says the Vuillards pretend they're normal, but they're not. And that's what Dave always says about my family, because, like, you know, I'm the only non-doctor among the sons of my family. Like, we're ridiculously, you know, type A, I guess. And he goes, yeah, y'all act like you're just regular folks, but you're all doctors and you all like each other and get along. And that's weird too. Yeah. So I like the idea of like a family who thinks they're normal, but isn't. The Christmas of it, you have to wait to get there.
Yeah.
But I think the way between like the kids that put on a play and how like they include stuff, you can tell that they don't understand it, but they're absorbing it from what's going on around them. The way they sit down at dinner, the way they bust each other over like, you know, breakfast and stuff, all of that gives me a lot of feels. So even though this movie does have like a harsh sense of humor and it does have characters who are capable of real cruelty, it does kind of fill me with Christmas warmth. So for me, it's a 9.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a 3 for me. I will say that there's like a really good, solid 45 minutes of Christmas. Like, really nice, like, spliced together, you know, in between, like, you know, affairs and stuff. Like, there's not really nice, really nice Christmas going on. And so whenever that's happening, it's great. But there's a lot of it when it's not happening. And when it's not happening, I was, like, eating candy, which was good. Like,
good candy.
Good candy. I mean, Hershey Kisses, let's go. But yeah, I would say it's like a 3 for me.
Sure. And this is also a movie that kind of like should come with its own footnotes. Like, after seeing it a couple times, reading more about it, it's like, oh, okay. So that opening speech that the dad has at his child's funeral is a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. And, you know, the last line in the movie is from A Midsummer Night's Dream. And so, like, you know, and there's a quote, there's a Nietzsche reference. Like, there's a lot of, you know, kind of footnoting required for the references that are being made. But then also, like, you have the family gathers around to watch, you know, the Ten Commandments on TV, which is like a thing that, you know, in the US we do at Easter time. But I guess it's a Christmas thing in France. So there's, you know, it's not a movie that makes itself immediately that immediately reveals itself upon one viewing. So I get it.
Great. I mean, I am not going to watch this again, but
I understand.
Yeah, you can give me the footnotes, I guess, and okay. I'll just read it afterwards. Let's do what any movies?
I mean,
for me, The Gathering is the they were literally family coming together, and there were fireworks in the backyard, and the family's kind of at odds with each other at times, and there's and some parent is dying, and bringing them for reasons he's not going to be. So it's very Gathering-y to me.
Yeah,
and The Gathering I enjoyed far more. So.
Understood. Yeah, perfect comparison. I love both these movies. I definitely recommend that people should check out The Gathering. Not part two, the first one.
No, this movie is like Gathering part two, like, but times two. Like, it's Gathering, like, just on a, it's like a loop, though.
But longer.
But longer.
The other one I would recommend is around this time, I think a few years earlier, there's another movie with Catherine Deneuve that is set at Christmas time. And it is... you might dig this one because it is a murder mystery musical set at Christmas.
Okay.
It's a film called Eight Women. And it's like the daughter comes home from college, and very quickly the in the night during a snowstorm, the father is mysteriously poisoned. So it's up to the women in the house, like his wife, you know, the two daughters, you know, the maid, the cousin, the like, you know, the these people who are all there to see, like, you know, and they all have possibly motives, and they all have things they have to work out with each other in addition to what they reveal about how they their relation with the dead guy. So it's a pretty cool movie. So yeah, if you've never seen Eight Women, that's a lot of fun.
All right, I'm in. I'll give it a shot. Let me tell the people what we're gonna watch next week for week 24.
Oh my gosh, it's so close to being over. I can't believe it. 24. So this is Brand's last.
This is my last pick.
And we are still taking suggestions for week 25. So, you know, email us at hello@deckthehallmark.com. Leave a comment below, wherever it is. But yeah, let us know what you think we should do to wrap this baby up for week 25. All right, taking off my headphones.
We are going to do a movie I've never seen before. And I know that Alonzo's never seen before, but we've talked about seeing it. So I think now's a good time. It's Home Alone 5. Home Alone 5, which we have heard like is a good one, but we've both never seen it. So I'm excited to watch it and watch it with him. Good. Good to go.
Excellent. Can't wait.
Boom. We'll be back next Monday. Not for the last time, but we're getting real close, Alonzo, real close. So close. Until then, maybe we'll be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark's a Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.